You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rock on, Rockies fans. Welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast. I am your host, Paul Holden, hanging out with you all here. We got a great show for you today. It's going to be all about the farm system. We're talking to William of Rock's Farm Report. So we're going to be diving into that interview. It'll be a full show all about Rock's from Rock's Farm Report on Twitter there. He's also on Rock's Pile there as well. We are going to be talking to Rock's Farm Report for the show today. And before we get to that, join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. Every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. Like I said, full episode all about the Rockies farm system, the state of the farm system, and what we've seen from Rockies prospects in the majors so far this year with at Rock's Farm Report on Twitter, William there, and we're going to dive into that interview for the show right now. I am doing something a fan requested and something that I am long overdue for. I am learning a lot more about the current farm system of the Rockies, and there is no one better to do it than my main man, William, here. William joins me. You might know him on Twitter as Rock's Farm Report, and you just got a new gig as well. William, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about what you do and where you come from?
All right. Thanks, Paul. My name is William Bain. I'm 22 years old. I have recently been added as a contributor to rockspile.com. I started out writing about the Rockies farm prospects right around whenever the trade that we won't name happened, mainly because I saw this as an opportunity as I can either run away as a fan or I can stick true to my ground and become the most diehard fan that I can. So I went all in depth and, you know, started looking into the future today.
So, you know, and I can relate to that because I started hosting this podcast in the season after the aforementioned trade that will not be mentioned. But unfortunately, we will have to talk about that. I do need to pick your brain about that. But so let's just dive in. Actually, before we do that, why double down and go deeper into fandom versus the more popular and completely understandable route of maybe stepping away from Rockies baseball this year?
You know, I grew up in a small town in Northeast Mississippi, and I'm a fan of the College Ole Miss, and my dad's been a fan of the College Ole Miss, and my mom went to Ole Miss, and I have witnessed so many losing seasons there that if I were to become unloyal now, I would be disowned from my family. Mm-hmm. They pride themselves on their loyalty to the fan base that they choose to be a part of.
And I appreciate that, you know, because one day it'll pay off. One day the lows that we're experiencing now will hopefully pay off for some high highs. So I have heard not a lot of positive things about the state of the Rockies farm system. Now, I haven't done a lot of digging. This is just surface level. That's why I had to bring you on. You can give me the more of the look. What is the state of the Rockies farm system?
You know, they're kind of in this in-between stage. We had Brendan Rodgers, as we all know, highly talented prospect, highly respected prospect. He comes up and then, you know, we trade away perennial MVP candidate for not a lot. So they're kind of in the process of deciding, you know, are we going to rebuild the farm? Are we going to try to compete now? And it's just not, it's just kind of a cluster everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's a very appropriate thing that some members of the front office still think that this is a team that's just underperforming or that's just not true. And, others know that this team desperately needs to rebuild the farm because the performance down there isn't great. You mentioned Brendan Rodgers. What's your thoughts on Brendan Rodgers? I mean, I think he's still in that grace period. I think we can give him more time, but he has passed that 100 at bats mark.
Where do you come down on Rodgers? I think there's a lot of people that aren't really convinced on him after, you know, being the high named prospect that he was.
You know, I think he was injured. I will give him a little bit of leniency on that. You can definitely tell his swing is a lot different now. I think he has a lot to prove, but I think he can be at least somewhat of what he was projected to be.
And I think that's what the Rockies just need, that they just need a solid utility infielder that can, you know, play where he plays, whether it be, it's just a curious situation. There's so many what ifs with the Rockies. It's nice if Brendan Rodgers can settle in a little bit and become at least a, you know, consistent or solid or average MLB player. You can figure out, all right, is he going to play second, short, or third, especially with what does Ryan McMahon do? Where are we going to make him going forward? What does Josh Fuentes do? So one name that's popped up and down a little bit and has gotten a little bit of playing time. Tell me a little bit more about Alan Trejo. What do we know about Alan? Where does he come from? And what's his kind of projected path like? Because he just got sent down today, and we're recording this a little bit earlier than this will post. This is about midweek of the week prior, so that's why it's kind of a special episode. But this is we're recording on Thursday the 10th. So Trevor Story back in the lineup today, and Trejo back down to AAA there in Albuquerque. Tell me a little bit about Alan.
You know, Alan was not regarded highly. He was kind of seen as a defensive shortstop, second baseman. But I think really in the past couple of years, he's shown that he can make solid contact. He can drive the ball to obviously, you know, he's been driving the ball well recently. He's still not projected very highly. He is more of like, if you were going to grade him A to D, he's probably a C minus kind of player. And I think that's good for Alan. I think Alan is going to use that as fuel, and he's going to use that as a chip on his shoulder. So whenever, you know, if Trevor Story is traded and, you know, they need somebody to come up to play second base because Brendan will more than likely become the shortstop, Alan will come up and want to prove people wrong, I think.
So if Trevor Story is traded, do you think Alan becomes the everyday shortstop? McMahon's over there at third and Rodgers is shortstop. Do you think that would probably be the lineup going forward with maybe a Fuentes Trejo mismatch or a swap out there at second base?
Yeah, I think that's what I would do. But again, I'm just a guy on Twitter, so I don't know exactly how Buddy is going to do it.
Yeah, and it just, like we've been talking about, it just leads into so many question marks and how many pieces are still going to be a part of the Rockies and who still is on this team. You'd want to imagine that if a team truly commits to a rebuild, that multiple pieces are going to be moved. But what do you see the Rockies getting, and what do you hope for the Rockies in a Trevor Story trade? Where do you think the best place to make a deal would be, and what are you hoping the Rockies can get? Should we get a shortstop? Should we look at maybe a prospect that's in that kind of top 10 level at someone's organization that will help the Rockies in the future? What are you hoping for from a Trevor Story trade?
Well, I can tell you this. If it's Oakland, it's not going to be a lot. It's not going to be a lot. And I hate to say that. Oakland has a very similar farm system to the Rockies. You know, it'd be, you know, three prospects that lower in their, you know, maybe top 10, one or two in the top 10. But I think the best piece for Trevor, even though, you know, they are struggling, it would be, you know, potentially looking at sending him to the Bronx. I think they can afford to keep him long term. If you send him somewhere where he's going to be a rental, you're going to get rental type prospects, and it's not going to be much. Oakland, as we all know, is world renowned for not wanting to pay players. So I would say probably New York would be my top of the list where I would want him to go. I think Oakland is where he's going to go, and I think we'll see like maybe JB Wendelken and two outfield prospects, two catching prospects, something like that.
Yeah, I think the Oakland is a pretty, I mean, they need help. They're a good team, and it makes sense to go in on a rental like Trevor Story when you're there. But speaking of making sure you're getting a good value and taking care of your finances, let's talk about Wealthfront. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. You hope that the Rockies can maximize value because they didn't in the last big trade. Give me the latest on, we know Austin Gomber, who has been actually, you know, in his last few starts has performed pretty well. What can you tell us about the two prospects that were sent over in the Nolan trade?
Well, we got four prospects in return. Tony Losi and Jake Sommers are two right-handed pitchers. Tony Losi is probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He actually followed me on Twitter, and nice. I was worried about DMing him because I was going to ask him for an interview. And I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of Tony Losi, but he looks very intimidating. 98-mile-an-hour fastball with Tony Losi, really, really soft slider. So it's a nice mix. You know, you pound someone inside with that 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and then you throw an 80-mile-an-hour slider. It gets them off their feet. The problem with him right now is he actually got hit with a line drive in one of his last appearances. So he's missed some time. Alaurice Montero is the third baseman they got in the trade. He's hit home runs, but he hasn't hit much other than home runs, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. He has this home run or nothing swing. Hartford starting to move him over to first base. He's not going to make it in the big leagues as a third baseman. He defensively is just way too big of a liability. And I know what everybody's thinking, oh, another first baseman. But I can tell you, if you want to see some wild plays at third base, leave Alaurice Montero over there. Mateo Gil also acquired. He's been DHing for the Fresno Grizzlies. He's a really good hitter, has a really good eye, has a really good plate approach. Right now he's got to work on fielding as well, but, they've got three guys that I think are hearing the noise that, you were traded for Nolan Arenado and you're not going to amount to anything. And I think they're hearing that and they're trying to prove a lot of people wrong.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, is it more, do you think it's an inspiration thing? Do you think it's something that they will be able to carry with them? I mean, that's a lot of weight to hang on their shoulders. And I've been at the forefront of this. It's the same thing with Austin Gomber. I mean, he's at the pro level, but he's still involved with the biggest trade in Rockies franchise history.
Yeah. I really think Tony Losi is using it. He's a really competitive guy in general. And I think he has the potential to, come out of the bullpen in the eighth, ninth inning and shut stuff down. And I think he's going to, look at all this talk surrounding him and really use that as, here's why I'm going to prove people that you can pitch at Coors Field and you can be extremely successful at Coors Field.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was talking about. What I was hoping for the future of the Rockies bullpen, and I need to dive more. And as I go through the show, I'm learning a ton, just like I'm learning a bunch here. We're talking to William Bain, by the way, Rocks Farm Report there on Twitter. You can also follow, find him now on Rocks Pile, right? Is that's where you're at now? Yeah, Rocks Pile. And Rockies fans know how great Rocks Pile is there. So William decided to dive into the farm, and I'm sure this is not going to be the last time I reach out to William for talking to us about prospects here. That's like I said, the bullpen. I just think the Rockies would find success if they can just bring in people that throw the ball hard, and if they hit the ball hard, it'll go after a defense. So it kind of worries me a little bit that we got these prospects coming from the trade that are defensive liabilities, and one's playing DH right now for an NL club. I don't love hearing that. Do you think that's kind of an idea for the Rockies to take, embrace just hard throwing people, and if you can hit this 100-mile-an-hour fastball, we'll just see where it goes and play defense there?
I think that's what they want to do. I think they're going to start, hard fastballs, hard sinking fastballs, stuff that breaks away from you. You know, I think they're going to look maybe in the draft at, you know, somebody that throws a hard sinker. You know, I know Ty Madden's name has been thrown around a little bit. He throws a hard fastball. I think that they're going to try to go away from the lobbing it into the strike zone approach that they have had recently in their bullpen, you know, with Jake McGee, who doesn't throw the hardest, Brian Shaw, who didn't throw the hardest.
Yeah, it's crazy now that the Rockies have finally developed, I think, a starting rotation that keeps the team in ball games. I think you could say one of the bright spots of the 2021 Rockies so far this year has been starting pitching, and the bullpen is something I'm really hoping that the Rockies can bring some up. I liked Justin Lawrence, but the control issues seem to be big, but I do, you know, it's exciting that the Rockies do have a guy that comes up and throws 100 miles an hour. But is Justin Lawrence on a path that he's going to be joining the Rockies down the line as a more regular bullpen piece? Is this control something that you think the Rockies are going to be able to figure out and have him contribute to the team consistently at the big league level?
You know, for Justin, I think he has a shot for whenever, you know, unfortunately Daniel Bard isn't around anymore or Carlos Estevez has moved, like people are talking about. I think he has a shot to come up and close for the Rockies. You know, unfortunately, everyone that throws hard for the Rockies has command issues.
Yeah.
Tony Losi, Riley Pint, who recently retired, Justin Lawrence, they all have control issues. And really what you want to see from them is, you know, you throw it hard enough that the average hitter isn't going to hit 100-mile-an-hour pitch every time it's in the zone.
Yeah.
If you can just hit the zone or get it near the zone, you'll be okay.
Yeah, and just something that's – and especially with how deceptive those fast pitches can be. If you can have something that starts fast, looks good, and then breaks away, that's pretty good. That's even better if you something that looks good and is tempting. So I am hopeful for Justin Lawrence. He was one of the prospects that I was excited about. And I'm glad to see that we're getting looks at a lot of different future Rockies potentially this year. Also, got to make – even more money during this thick sports event calendar, and the best place to go is Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA fight night action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs into the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks experts. Don't forget that promo code Locked On. Also, be sure to make sure that your car is in tip-top shape this year as you get the road trips underway. Go to rockauto.com and make sure that you have everything you need to handle the summer on the road. One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money that you can use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see if the parts are available for your car or truck. I guarantee you they will. Right, Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. One of the questions that I've gotten a lot is people have asked me if the Rockies would move on from Charlie Blackmon in a trade. And I don't think the Rockies would trade Charlie Blackmon. I don't think anyone wants Charlie Blackmon's contract, and unless if he was a DH in the AL. Hypothetically, if the Rockies moved on from Charlie Blackmon, what is there an outfield prospect Rockies fans should be on the lookout for? Because we have Raimel Tapia. I love Raimel Tapia, the guy, the player, and I love the energy, but you do look at the performance. It doesn't knock your socks off in anything, but I've seen some people say, hey, you may be able to put him in right and we can get someone more, a little bit more defensive in left there. Is there anybody in the Rockies farm system in the outfield that fans should be on the lookout for?
Actually, there is. His name is Ryan Vallade. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. They moved him to left field whenever he hit Double-A, and he has just been phenomenal. I mean, defensively, offensively, phenomenal. And I think he's one of those guys, you know, trade deadline, we move Trevor Story, we move whoever. And I think we could see Ryan Vallade at 20th and Blake right at the trade deadline.
So that's okay. So I love that. I mean, a big, an offensive, defensive, a lot of pop in left field that you got to have that. And I mean, that would be a great ad there for Coors Field. Reminds you of a Cargo in his prime, something like that, a player like that brings flashbacks to. So I love to hear that because I love Charlie Blackmon, but I think we do need to face the realities of the situation there in right field that swings the bat well, but that defense is very much a liability, I feel like, coming from Charlie Blackmon. I don't know if you would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would disagree with that. William, a couple more questions here before we wrap things up. What about first base? Is there anything, are the Rockies just going to continue to look at people like a CJ Krohn and kind of get these 3-year first basemen because they'll never find another Todd Helton? Is there anybody maybe playing first base that the Rockies have on their mind?
Actually, you know, he's not talked about a lot. A lot of people don't know his name. His name is Sean Bouchard. He's he plays for Hartford. You know, he's just swinging the bat well. He's drawing walks. He's not necessarily hitting a ton of home runs, but what he is doing is he has this, you know, there's a runner on third. I'm not going to try to, you know, get a base hit. I'm going to drive in the run. Really, really good defense player as well. Played basically every position, but caught, you know, he can play everywhere. Obviously, you know, Michael Toglia, also very highly touted, number 5 first base prospect on MLB.com. He's a guy that we could probably see in a year if he cuts his strikeouts down a little bit. And again, Lauris Montero also has the potential of, you know, coming up and getting some time.
So how excited would Rockies fan, or should Rockies fans be when these next generations of Rockies come up? Is there life kind of coming to this team in the form of some prospects, some energy that's going to come? And I mean, let's just look at the holes that might need to be filled. I think off the top of people's heads of people that might be traded is Trevor Story, John Gray, Armand Marquez. You know, you might throw in, I don't know, I'd hope not a Ryan McMahon, because I think he's who you build the team around, at least in the interim future. How excited would Rockies fans be with these players coming up to replace these pretty well-known and big-name Rockies names at this point?
You know, you've got guys like Ryan Rawlison, you've got guys like Aaron Shunk, you've got guys like Michael Toglia and Ryan Vallade that all have the potential of seeing major league time soon. Ryan Rawlison is going to be electric at Coors Field, especially whenever he develops that slider into what it can be. I mean, just a lefty starter that has deceptive velocity. You know, everybody looks at him and says, oh, it's only 91 miles an hour, but he's releasing the ball so he's hiding the ball so well that it just jumps on hitters and it really blows him away. Obviously, you know, he just had his appendix removed, so it's probably not going to be soon whenever we see him.
Right.
But there is some younger guys down as well. Drew Romo is on a 7-game hitting streak, you know, a competitive balance round pick last year. No one knew what he was going to do offensively. He's hitting 291 with 2 home runs, driving the ball really well. And he's a really good kid as well. You know, he doesn't let the game get to him. He doesn't let going 0-for-4 get to him. You know, Zach Veen has started out a little bit slow, but he's also been really unlucky. So, you know, there's very bright spots in this farm system. And I think what people are doing is they're looking at, you know, oh, the Rockies have the 26th ranked farm system or whatever it is. And they're saying, wow, they're just awful. When in reality, there's really good pieces in that farm.
And I feel like that, I don't know, from my perspective, that kind of makes sense in terms of farm systems. You're spreading your players out among the different levels, depending on their abilities and where they're successful or not. And you go up and down. I mean, just looking at Alan Trejo, for example, I mean, he's been up and down from the team, I would imagine, three or four times at this point. Same with Justin Lawrence. And now, you know, it'll be Connor Joe going up and down with, you know, depending on what happens with Matt Adams. You know, you mentioned Riley Pint earlier, and it's yet another Rockies first round draft pick that retires without making it out of Double A. Is this a Breidich issue? Is this a Rockies coaching staff issue? That is very concerning. I know baseball drafts are a lot different. It's a lot more convoluted than other sports. There's a lot more that goes into developing a player. But from one GM that was ousted, he did develop Nolan, Trevor, and I believe Charlie Blackmon. But we go to Breidich, and it's nobody. It's Brendan Rodgers a little bit.
So there are reports that Riley retired due to an injury. But he also, you know, whenever you're walking 134 batters in 166 innings, it's just not going to make the field. You know, he just struggled. I think, you know, the Justin Verlander comparisons whenever he was drafted really got to him. And he wanted to be that, and he just wasn't that. And fans tried to force him to be something he wasn't.
That's so tough. I mean, it's so tough when you're a young player to get you're get introduced to the media cycle, and you just kind of, especially when it's so hard when someone's throwing your name to be compared to Justin Verlander. I mean, one of the greats of the great. And then, you know, to have a pundit or someone come out and say that on a level, that's going to create an expectation you never wanted to create for yourself. And I feel like that's just got to be killer on some of those young players' minds.
Yeah. You know, I really hope that doesn't happen with Zach Veen, as he got, you know, I just got done talking with Stephen Rice, the media guy for the Fresno Grizzlies, and you know, he's giving him Ronald Acuna Jr. comparisons and Christian Yelich comparisons. I just really hope that, you know, whenever you look at these prospects, you can see things in these players, but they aren't, you know, every player is different. Nobody's going to be the next, you know, Babe Ruth. Nobody's going to be the next Larry Walker. They're going to be there, you know, Zach Veen's going to be Zach Veen, and right. Don't try to force him to be what he's not.
That's so important. It's so important to remember that, especially when you're looking into stuff like covering the farm system. While there might be things that remind you of flashes of, and I think it's okay to say, hey, there's elements of, I think it's more important to say, he's going to be the next Christian Yelich. Here's the elements of Christian Yelich's game that we see in him, and they can develop further. Because a lot of these guys, you can't be calling them the next Christian Yelich or the next, you know, Nolan Arenado when they're 19, 20 years old and they're playing single A, double A ball. I mean, they're just getting there. They need a little bit more time to develop. Not everyone's Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is a once in a, you know, or a Mike Trout. I know that there are very few instances that I can name off the top of my head of these, you know, draft prospects just screaming through the minors and going up and being the players that they can be. And I like that mindset. But William, thank you so much for your time. I'll let you plug everything. Where should they go? How can they stay up to date and make sure the fans out there can stay up to date with the Rockies farm system and what you do?
All right. You can find me on @RocksFarmReport on Twitter. And I'm also in the process of starting my own podcast. It'll be the Rocks Farm Report podcast. You know, just follow me on Twitter and we'll go from there.
What are some resources for those fans that want to get more involved in following the Rockies farm system, watching the teams, following the teams? What should they do?
You know, it's super easy. Just download minorleaguebaseball.tv on iOS, Android, wherever. Get yourself a subscription. I think it's like $39 a year. You know, you can follow an entire organization's farm system, you know, Albuquerque, Hartford, Fresno, Spokane. And you can watch the games. Unfortunately, Spokane doesn't play televised very much, but you know, you can watch the Rockies of tomorrow today very simply. And you know, it's as easy as a couple clicks.
Yeah, download that app. Support the minor leagues. It's important. It's important for the game. It's important for those players, and it's important they get great coverage from people like William there. Rocks Farm Report on Twitter. Be sure to stay up to date on Rocks Pile as well. Stuff's going to be there, and then soon to come, the Rocks Farm Report podcast. Can't wait to listen to that and stay up to date with all things. And this won't be the last time I'm sure you hear William on the Locked On Rockies podcast. Thank you so much again for your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode here of the Locked On Rockies podcast. Thank you so much to William of Rocks Farm Report. Just follow them on Twitter so you can stay up to date with all things Rockies farm system. Before we go today, you got to check out the Locked On Today podcast. The Locked On Today podcast. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major American sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, that's going to do it for this episode, everyone. For the Colorado Rockies, the Locked On Rockies podcast. I shouldn't say for the Colorado Rockies. It's just me. For the Locked On Rockies podcast, this is Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Radio's Locked On Rockies podcast. I'm going to get that. I promise. So long.